So imagine knowing exactly what day your best employee is going to quit.
Right down to the exact day.
Yeah, and knowing exactly how much it will cost to keep them. And doing all of this using nothing but the bullet points on their resume.
Which is pretty wild when you think about it.
It really is. So we are pulling from two very revealing documents today. First, a methodology pitch deck, and second, a foundational white paper, specifically Volume 01.
Right, both from a company called Talent Oracle.
Exactly. And the mission for this deep dive is to explore this radically new concept they're introducing. They call it career trajectory underwriting.
Yeah, and the basic premise is that they can predict a departure and price retention without ever sending an employee a single survey.
Okay, let's unpack this, because to really understand the problem Talent Oracle claims to solve, you have to look at the baseline of how human resources operates right now.
Right, the status quo.
Yeah, currently standard HR retention practices are a lot like a car's check engine light, but it's wired to only eliminate after the transmission has already dropped out of the bottom of the car.
That is a great way to put it.
Because by the time the warning light actually comes on, you aren't doing preventative maintenance, you're just calling a tow truck.
And that latency, that delay in information, is an incredibly expensive blind spot for companies.
Absolutely.
The core thesis of the Talent Oracle white paper points out this really astonishing historical contradiction in how businesses operate.
Right, they talk about pricing risk.
Exactly. Think about it. For a century, modern enterprises have meticulously learned to price the future of almost everything. I mean, actuaries price mortality risk to build the insurance industry.
Statisticians price default risk for credit.
Right, and analysts priced cash flows to build the securities markets. Companies buy cover, they set reserves, and quantify their exposure down to the basis point for, burning buildings, lost shipments, fluctuating currency.
Tangible stuff.
Yeah. But the single most expensive, most volatile asset a company holds, which is the forward trajectory of its human capital, has never been priced on a forward curve.
It just sits there as a flat cost line on the balance sheet.
Paired with the hope that people just stick around.
Which is crazy. You insure the office building against a fire, but you just cross your fingers and pray for the people inside it.
Yeah, and the cost of operating entirely on hope is staggering.
We are moving from this broad theoretical idea of pricing people to the very real, very painful financial reality companies face when their top performers inevitably walk out the door.
Because it's not cheap.
No, not at all. According to the pitch deck, the average cost of a key employee departure is $1.2 million.
Wow, over $1 million.
Yeah, and when you look at how the text breaks that down, it isn't just the obvious stuff like recruiter fees to find a replacement.
Right, it's the hidden costs.
Exactly. It's the cascading failure of institutional knowledge leaving the building. It's the lost ramp-up time for the new hire. It is the team disruption, the product features that don't ship on time.
Client deals slipping through the cracks.
Yes. And that quiet contagion of churn that investors eventually notice in a board deck when the numbers miss.
And the reason that $1.2 million hit lands so abruptly is what the white paper calls the latency of knowing.
Which is a fascinating phrase.
It is. There is this massive asymmetry in the timeline of any resignation. The employee knows they are leaving roughly 90 days in advance.
The text refers to this as T-minus 90.
Yeah, T-minus 90. At that point, the behavioral signals are all there. They're just invisible to the employer.
Like what kind of signals?
Well, it's the recruiter reaching out on LinkedIn and actually getting a reply. Or the quiet Sunday afternoon spent updating the action verbs in a public profile.
Oh, or that highly suspicious second interview booked on a Tuesday afternoon.
Disguised as an emergency dentist appointment, exactly.
Always the dentist.
Right.
Yeah.
So the employee has already begun the psychological transition out the door.
But the company has absolutely no idea. They don't find out until T equals zero.
Which is the worst moment.
It really is. T equals zero is that moment your stomach drops because a calendar invite suddenly pops up in your inbox titled Quick Chat.
Oof, yeah, the dreaded Quick Chat.
And then the resignation letter lands. By that point, they're giving notice, and it is already way too late for a counteroffer to actually matter.
Because after the letter lands, every retention lever a manager could pull costs significantly more and works significantly less.
So Talent Oracle's entire premise is collapsing that latency. They want to give the enterprise that 90-day window back.
And to understand how they plan to do that, the white paper breaks down the evolution of corporate people decisions into three distinct eras.
Okay, let's go through these eras.
So, era one was the era of intuition. This was just the manager's hunch.
Like a gut feeling.
Yeah. Unrecorded, unfalsifiable, and obviously highly biased. It usually just resulted in managers promoting the people they personally like.
Which is terrible for business.
Exactly. So then era two brought a sentiment. This is where the vast majority of companies operate today.
Relying on the annual or quarterly engagement survey.
Right. It replaced the unscientific hunch with a metric, which was an advance, sure, but it is fundamentally a backward-looking tool.
Because it records how an employee feels about the past.
Exactly. Inside one specific organization, on the exact day they happen to fill out the form.
Right.
Now, they argue, we are entering era three, which is underwriting. This relies on reading the external career record, the resume, as a forward curve.
To price who leaves, when they leave, and what it costs to keep them. But wait, so what does this all mean for the current tools? Are we saying the standard HR engagement survey is completely useless now?
Not useless, but...
Because companies spend millions on enterprise platforms precisely to track that kind of internal sentiment. I mean, if an employee logs in and gives a 2 out of 5 on the statement, I feel valued by leadership, that seems like a pretty glaring indicator they are a flight risk. Why wouldn't a company just rely on that data?
Well, it is an indicator of dissatisfaction, certainly. But dissatisfaction is not a predictor of a market transaction.
Oh, that's an interesting distinction.
Yeah, the white paper makes a crucial distinction here. Internal engagement surveys are entirely blind to the external market.
So you could be unhappy but have nowhere to go.
Precisely. An employee can be deeply unhappy, complaining in every survey, but if the broader market isn't offering them a viable, better alternative, they're highly unlikely to leave. They'll just stay and complain.
Which honestly might be worse for productivity.
Probably. And conversely, an employee can be perfectly happy scoring a 5 out of 5 on those same surveys. But if they have quietly grown into a skill set that the external market currently values at a 30% premium,
they are still going to get poached.
Exactly. The external market is what actually facilitates the departure. So era three inverts the entire premise.
It stops asking, how does this person feel about our company?
And starts asking, what will the market offer this person next? And how does that compare to what we are currently providing?
Okay, so if surveys are backward-looking and internal, what does the forward-looking math actually look like? Because if you're only looking at a resume, you are essentially just looking at dates, titles, and bullet points.
Right, it seems pretty sparse.
To predict a resignation from that, you must be mapping their personal timeline against some kind of external baseline, right?
Yes, and Talent Oracle models this departure risk using a specific framework they call the 3 clocks.
So if you are listening to right now, think of 3 literal clocks ticking in the background of your own career.
That's a great mental image. So the first one is the market clock.
Okay.
This measures the external pull. What will the outside world pay to acquire this person? And how far below that market rate do they currently sit?
So it measures macroeconomic things.
Yeah. Market desirability, compensation lag versus the market, and broader industry hiring signals.
And the second clock?
The second is the ceiling clock, which measures internal stall.
Internal stall, okay.
It asks, how much runway remains where this person is currently standing before their trajectory flattens against the organization's ceiling?
Ah, so it looks at trajectory momentum.
Right, and their velocity compared to their cohort. For example, if someone usually gets promoted every 2 years, but they are at year 3 in a flat organization with nowhere to move up, their ceiling clock is ticking loudly.
Are they outgrowing the room they are in, basically?
Exactly. And finally, the 3rd clock is the cadence clock.
Which focuses entirely on personal rhythm.
Yeah. Where does this individual sit in their own historical pattern of movement? Does their resume show they historically hop jobs every 36 months and they're currently at month 34?
So it measures tenure stability.
Yes. Mismatches between their accumulated tenure and their current title and whether they are pushing past their typical historical exit cadence.
Here's where it gets really interesting. It's like a combination lock.
Oh, I like that analogy.
Yeah, because no single tumbler falling into place is going to pop the lock open. A recruiter sliding into your DMs with a job offer, which is the market clock, isn't enough on its own to make you upend your life and quit.
Usually not, no.
You also have to feel internally stuck, which is the ceiling clock, or be historically due to job hop, based on your own past behavior, the cadence clock, for the door to actually open. The tumblers have to align.
What's fascinating here is how Talent Oracle formalizes that exact dynamic into what they call the ignition rule.
The ignition rule.
Yeah. A single clock striking is just noise. But when 2 or more clocks strike simultaneously, departure transitions from a possibility to a high probability.
Can you give an example of that?
Sure. They use the example of a highly desirable senior engineer. The market clock is always high for this profile, right? Recruiters are always calling.
Always.
But if they have clear runway internally and are early in their tenure, they'll generally stay. However, let's say they keep taking on more scope, managing larger projects without an official title change, so they become historically overdue for a promotion.
So now the cadence clock strikes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the market keeps calling, offering higher titles, so the market clock is striking. When those external and internal tumblers align, that exact same engineer becomes a probable departure within 2 quarters.
Wow.
And crucially, their internal engagement scores might not have changed at all during that period.
That is wild. So if we agree the clocks are ticking, how does a manager actually hear them before the alarm goes off?
That's the operational side of it.
Because the claims in the pitch deck about the user experience are incredibly bold. They state that a manager or HR leader can get a full predictive report in 4 to 5 minutes.
Which is incredibly fast.
No heavy IT integration, no 6-month enterprise rollout, no access to sensitive internal HR systems required. A manager literally just pastes the text of an employee's resume into the platform.
That's the entire input.
Paste text, wait 4 minutes, get a prediction. How is it processing that so fast without just hallucinating a guess?
Well, the speed and accuracy come from an architecture that relies on 6 specialized reasoning agents working in an assembly line.
6 agents. Okay.
They emphasize that this is not a monolithic black box AI where raw data goes into a void and a magic number pops out.
Because if you want corporate leaders to make financial decisions based on this, you need a traceable pipeline.
Exactly. An auditable pipeline. It starts with agent 1, the extract agent. This strips and normalizes the raw resume text into a structured career record.
So standardizing titles, dates, estimating compensation bands.
Right. Then it hands off to agent 2, the analyze agent. This runs the math to detect momentum, risk, and those anchor and ceiling signals we talked about.
And then agent 3?
Agent 3 is the forecast agent. It projects the future earnings bands and the specific retention risk window. Then agent 4 is the intervene agent, which looks at the risk and generates ranked retention levers to mitigate it.
Like actual steps to take.
Yes. Then agent 5 is the explain agent, translating the underlying math into a plain English narrative, and it's strictly instructed to avoid vague language.
Nice.
Finally, agent 6 is the assemble agent, which compiles the output from the previous 5 into a final report and locks in the full audit trail.
Because they have separate agents, one is strictly extracting data while another is strictly checking the math.
Exactly. It prevents the system from making things up, because every claim traces to a signal, and every signal traces directly back to a specific bullet point or date on the resume.
And we can actually see this in action in the specimen report provided in the white paper.
Yeah, the Acme Robotics example.
Right. They run an illustrative example of a senior software engineer at a Series B company called Acme Robotics. Agent 6 compiles a report giving this engineer a retention risk score of 72 out of 100.
Flagging them as high risk.
Yeah, high risk. It provides an estimated departure window of 6 to 14 months. And the audit trail shows the top driving signals, like tenure past their typical exit cadence, title compression versus their apparent scope of work, and an estimated compensation lag versus the market of about 18%.
And this is exactly where the platform shifts from being just an analytical curiosity to an actual operational tool. It generates an intervention playbook. It doesn't just raise an alarm. It ranks the specific actions a manager can take to stop the departure, ordered by impact and cost.
So what does it recommend for the Acme engineer?
For this specific engineer, the number one recommended action is to promote them to staff engineer.
Okay.
The system's rationale is that this resolves the title compression signal, which is the loudest clock currently striking. Doing this reduces their flight risk by 26 points, and the cost of changing the title is $0.
$0, wow.
Yeah, and the second lever is to close that 18% compensation lag. That removes the market pull before a recruiter can successfully price it for them. That reduces risk by another 14 points at a cost of roughly $36,000 a year.
The gamification of that is just wild to me. A manager can look at this and realize, wait, I can drop their flight risk by 26 points just by giving them a new title that costs me absolutely nothing.
It's extremely actionable.
And it even predicts exactly where the employee is going to go next if you don't intervene. For this engineer, it forecasts the most likely next move is a staff engineer role at a growth equity-backed infrastructure company, getting a 20 to 30% bump in total comp.
So it tells you exactly the profile of the company you are competing against.
But I do have a major piece of pushback on this specimen report.
Oh, but what's that?
The platform predicts a 3-year earnings trajectory for the employee. It says this engineer, who currently makes an estimated $205K, will be making $300K in 3 years.
Right.
Predicting a 3-year earnings trajectory down to the dollar just from reading a resume, that sounds like the definition of false precision.
It absolutely would be false precision, and the architects of this system actually point that out themselves.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There was a brilliant line in the white paper addressing this exact skepticism. They write, "A point estimate is a guess wearing a suit."
Oh, that's good. A guess wearing a suit.
If the tool just spit out a flat $300,000, it would just be a sophisticated guess pretending to be data. This is why Talent Oracle does not provide point estimates. It provides confidence bands.
Ah, okay, confidence bands.
It projects that year three earnings will fall between $255,000 and $358,000, with a base case scenario of $300,000. It also provides a compound annual growth rate, or CAGR, range of 11.5 to 17.8%.
So it's giving a range.
Right. By bounding the future inside a confidence interval, it stops being a guess and becomes a true underwriting statement.
Yeah.
It tells the corporate leader not just where the trajectory is heading, but mathematically how much uncertainty they are pricing against.
Okay, bounding the uncertainty completely changes how you read it. It is giving you the probable range based on historical data, not pretending to have a crystal ball.
Exactly.
Which leads us to the final and maybe most important piece of this deep dive.
The guardrails.
Yeah. If this tool is that fast, that cheap to run, and that predictive, what stops an enterprise from misusing it? We really need to look at the economics and the strict boundaries the company places on the system.
First, let's talk about the economics. The cost to run one of these reports is stated as just $10 to $30 per employee analyzed.
As the deck notes, that is the price of a working lunch.
But the return on investment. If running these reports across a team prevents just one key departure, saving that $1.2 million hit we talked about earlier, the ROI is 40,000x.
40,000x.
The pitch deck spells it out clearly. You don't need to prevent every departure. You need to prevent one.
The financial arithmetic pays for itself the very first time it works, but that extreme combination of low cost and high impact makes guardrails absolutely essential.
Oh, completely. The white paper outlines a section called Doctrine and Limits. They frame this discipline not just as an ethical stance, but as their actual competitive moat.
What are the limits?
First, the platform is strictly resume bound. It is entirely walled off from internal performance reviews, manager relationships, or real-time compensation data.
So it only underwrites what is legible on the public career record.
Right. Second, it is probabilistic, not deterministic. A score of 80 does not mean the person will absolutely, undeniably leave on Tuesday.
It just means departure rates in that specific cohort of employees are materially elevated.
Yes. And third, it operates on a cold start model for new clients.
Let's break down that cold start model because it is an important technical limitation they are openly admitting to. Think of it like signing up for a brand new Netflix account. On day one, the algorithm doesn't know your taste perfectly. That is a cold start.
It gives you generalized recommendations.
Right. But after 12 months of you feeding it data on what you actually watch, its predictions become highly calibrated to you. Talent Oracle admits that early reports for a new company are less calibrated than those from a customer who has been feeding actual departure outcomes back into the loop for a year.
And the fourth limit in their doctrine is arguably the most critical for how this functions in a corporate environment. The system is absolutely not a basis for adverse action.
So you can't fire someone based on a report?
No, not at all. Yeah. The reports are designed strictly as decision support for humans, never as automated verdicts. They cannot be the primary basis for firing, demoting, or penalizing someone. The underwriter informs the judgment, but the human manager makes the final decision.
That makes sense.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this kind of boundary setting is what separates institutional-grade analysis from slick marketing. Honest underwriting must explicitly admit its limits.
Yeah.
A model that refuses to look at internal performance reviews isn't broken. That is a feature. It prevents the model from being poisoned by internal office politics or a toxic manager's bias.
By rigidly defining what it cannot see, it earns the authority to make the predictions it can see trustworthy. Think about your own career sequence right now as you are listening to this. Think about the jobs you've had, the tenure you stayed at each one, the titles you've held, the velocity of your promotions.
It's a very personal thing to consider.
It really is.
Mm.
If your boss copied and pasted your resume into this machine today, what would Agent 6 assemble? Would it flag you as a flight risk? Are your clocks striking without you even realizing it?
Probably.
And more importantly, would you actually want them to know? Because if they knew, they might bring that intervention playbook to your next one-on-one and finally fix your comp lag or give you that title bump without you having to endure the stress of secretly interviewing somewhere else.
It fundamentally changes the power dynamic and the cadence of the modern workplace. We are moving away from the era where the resume was just a dusty biography, a historical document you only updated when you were unhappy enough to leave.
The core takeaway from synthesizing both the pitch deck and the white paper is this. A career sequence is no longer a record of the past. It is a forward curve.
And for the first time, human capital is being priced like any other major asset.
The check engine light is finally getting wired to the actual engine, giving you 90 days to fix it before the transmission drops.
This raises an important question, though, one that isn't explicitly answered in these source documents, but naturally follows the logic.
Oh, what is it?
If predictive tools like this become the standard across all industries, and companies are always able to proactively offer exactly enough compensation and perfectly timed promotions, just in time to stop our clocks from striking, will the concept of job hopping eventually go extinct?
Wow.
Could this level of predictive retention lead to a future where we are algorithmically trapped in perfectly optimized, incredibly comfortable career stagnation? A world where the machine knows exactly what carrot to dangle to keep you from ever exploring the unknown.
Perfectly optimized career stagnation. You never leave because they always know exactly what it takes to satisfy you the day before you even realize you are looking for a change. That is a deeply unsettling yet fascinating thought to leave on. Next time you update your resume, just remember you are not just logging your history, you are plotting a forward curve. We'll leave you to mull that over.